Boker Tov, we're at the beginning of the fourth parak. We have two Mishnayot to look at today. The first one is a very famous one about the development of Tkiat Shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yopa Shabbat. The Mishnah says, Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yopa Shabbat, Mikdash Hayu Tokin Avalo Bamdina. When the Mikdash was around, they would blow Shofar in the Mikdash. And the Mikdash does not always mean the Beit HaMikdash, and as you will see, it expands well beyond the parameters of the Beit HaMikdash. But they would not blow shofar anywhere else. Anywhere else meaning beyond those parameters. B'shechar Beit HaMikdash yikin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai shiutokin b'chol makom shiyesh po beiti. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana. We're going to hear the story behind the takana. To allow tkiat shofar to be done anywhere where there's a beiti. Now what does that mean? It's three different possibilities. Two in the Mishnah, third in a Braita. The Tanakhama here says, anywhere there's a Beit Din, they blow shofar, which would even mean an ad hoc Beit Din. Amar Rav Elazar, lo yitkin Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, ela b'Yavneh bilvad. He said, no, the story happened in Yavneh, and that's the only place the Takana was good for, was Yavneh. Amru lo, echad Yavneh v'chad kol makom sheyesh po Beit Din, and so that's the position of the Rabbanan. V'od zot ata Yerushalayim yeter al Yavneh. Besides that, Yerushalayim had another leg up on Yavneh. Shekol yeshi ro'a v'shama t'kuvah v'chola l'avo. We will see what those things specifically exclude. But any city that's within very close range of Yerushalayim, tokin. You can blow shofar there too on Shabbat. V'yavneh lo'ya tokin o'ad v'beit din levad. And Yavneh had to be in the Beit Din itself. We'll see what that means in the Beit Din itself. There are three possibilities when we limit it. And this is a little bit of a telegraph thing. Possibility one is it has to be in the physical building of the Beit Din. Second is it has to be done by the Beit Din. And the third possibility is that it has to be done during the time of the Beit Din. And we'll see all three of them played out, and we'll see what it means. Now, Menahami Mili, what's the source for the idea that we don't blow shofar in Shabbat in certain places? Amar Rabbi Levi Bar Lachma, Amar Rabbi Chan Bar Chanina, we have the first two psukim on the page present, possibly, not necessarily, possibly a contradiction. And that is it a day of Truah or a day of remembering Truah? Ketuv Achad Omer Shabbaton Zichron Truah. Ketuv Achad Omer Yom Truah Yelachem. So which is it? So Lokasha, Kan Biyom Tov Shechal Yom Shabbat, Kan Biyom Tov Shechal Yom Tachol. In other words, the Torah mandated that Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaZikaron will sometimes be a day where you remember Truah by talking about it but not doing it, and that would be on Shabbat, or that it is a Yom Truah and that is when it falls during the week. That, of course, is impossible. Because if that's the case, there's no reason to blow shofar anywhere when Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yom Shabbat. Not in the Mikdash and not in Yavneh. Right? Amarava, Imi Doraita, Him Mikdash Echi Takina. So, V'od Halav Malacha, He Storech Krali Mute. And by the way, you don't need a pasuk to tell me not to do to be reminded. After all, it's not a malacha. If it was a malacha, so you would come and say, aha, even though the Torah says to do it, here we're telling you to remember it. But it's not a malacha that the Torah has to address. The Tanna Rabbi Shmuel, Kol Malachat Avodah Lo Tasu, a very famous pasuk, but it's pasuk also number two on the page, Kol Malachat Avodah Lo Tasu on, but really, the reference here is to Shabbat. Yatat kiat shofar diatapat shichochma ve'ina malacha. Very famous drasha that malacha means particular actions which produce certain kinds of results, and it does not refer to actions that don't produce tangible results, but yet take some sort of an expertise to do, like blowing shofar or like expertly pulling bread out of the oven. Those are not malacha; they're called chochma, right? And therefore, it's not a malacha, and therefore, the text would never have to address it. Ela Amar Rav Midoraita Mishrashari. It's very clear that Midoraita, it's mutter to blow shofar on Shabbos. No question. It's not a malacha. The Torah said to do it. Zichron Truah doesn't mean that. Rashi says, by the way, Zichron Truah refers to, is a reference to the psukim of Malchiyot Shifron Shifron and Zichronot. And that's Rashi's famous shita, that the psukim are Doraita. Not which psukim, but the say psukim of Malchiyot Shifron Zichronot and Rosh Hashanah Doraita. Rashi is pretty much on his own on that. Rabbanan hu degazur bei kidurabba damar rabba kol chayvim kiat shofar and a kol b'kin with kiat shofar. Famous statement of Rabba, which applies to lulav megillah also. Everybody's chayav and shofar, and everybody knows how to do it. They rasha mitlenu biyadov biyadechet to lava kilu mod viavrenu arba amot b'shutar abim. So we're concerned you might carry the shofar to an expert to show you how to do it, just like we do with lulav and megillah, and therefore even though midoraita, these things are mutar and Shabbat, so the Rabbanan said not to do it. Right? In the time of the lulav, and in the time of the megillah. The big difference being that lulav and megillah, well, the difference being megillah, there's no place to read on Shabbat. Lulav, as we saw, it was taken in the mikdash on Shabbat. We saw the whole description of how they would bring it beforehand. And then later on, they transfer that, say, it would be in the Beit Knesset on Shabbat, perhaps. But ultimately, the Babylonian custom of not doing it, even on when the first day fell on Shabbat, ended up being the prevalent one. Here, it was very clear that they said that on when it comes on Shabbat, nobody's allowed to blow shofar, except in the Mikdash, the assumption being that they would have experts blowing there, and nobody would have to go and find out what's what. And that's what Yochum and Zakkai said after the Korban. You could do it in either a Beit Din or the Beit Din. Mishachar Beit HaMikdash, Yitkir Yochum and Zakkai, etc. Tana Banan, Tam Achat Chal Rosh, this is the story behind it. Chal Rosh Shana Liyot B'Shabbat. Vayu Kol Arim Mikansin. So everybody came into Yavna. Amar Lehem Rami Yochum and Zakkai V'Znei V'Teira, Nitka. He said to V'Znei V'Teira, let's blow the shofar. Amru Lo Nidon. Now let's first sit down to see if it's appropriate. Amar Lehem Nitka V'Chakach Nidon. It's a great story. Let's pull a shofar and we'll discuss it. Shoot first, ask later. The achar shetaku amrulo nadun. So after they blew shofar, they said, okay, let's do what you said. Amar lahem kvar nishma keren biyavne. It's a play of words. Right? The horn has already been sounded in Yavne. The emish even lachar masa. Once something has happened, we don't sit down to see whether it's appropriate or not, because then it'll be motzi laz and everything that Beit Din did. And therefore, he said, and that's what established the norm. So you see, Rabbi Yochum and Zakkai's takana here was a real takana, not in the sense of the processing and him finally putting his stamp on it, but he pushed it to happen, and once it happened, he said, we've already in a situation now where we can't change it. Now, I'm Rabbi Lazar, lo yitkin Rabbi Yochum and Zakkai, elo b'yavne bilvad. Amrulo, listen carefully, echad yavne v'chol makom, echad kol makom, sheyesh po beitin. Now we think that that's exactly the same opinion as mentioned in the Mishnah. Amru lo hainu tana kama. Isn't it the same as our tana? So, ika binayu beit dina da akroi. No, the difference is a temporary beit din. Meaning that in our Mishnah, it said anywhere that there is that a beit din sits. Here, the Amru lo said any place where there is a beit din. Meaning that in our Mishnah, the machlok, it was anytime three people sit down and make a beit din, they can blow shofar. Rav Elazar said, no, it's only in Yavne. And the Amru lo here had a slight variation. It said, We're not agreeing with the Tanakhama and the Mishnah that any time three people comes to the Beit Din in any location, that they can blow. But rather, any place that has a permanent Beit Din, not just Yavne, but Usha and Tzipori and Beit Sharim, wherever the Beit Din is, they can blow. Now, Amrulo Echad Yavne V'Chad Kol Makom Sheish Bo Beit Din, Amar Rav Huna Ve'im Beit Din. This is, remember, I mentioned that there were three possible ways of reading what it means to read in the Beit Din, to blow in the Beit Din. Rav Huna added a line that sounds like it clarifies, but it actually confuses, which is ve'im beit din. What is ve'im beit din? Bifnei beit din. So our first read means that in Yavne you have to read in the presence of the beit din. La'fukei shelo bifnei beit din delo. That excludes that you cannot read outside of the presence of the beit din in Yavne. So in Yavne you can only blow in the presence of the beit din. Look at the Mishnah again. The Mishnah says that that they made a takana to blow in the Beit Din. And what did Rav Huna say? That means in the presence of the Beit Din. And then the Mishnah says, and there's another leg up. What's the other leg up? That your Shalayim people on the outskirts can blow, and in Yavna only in the Beit Din. Well, according to you, that's what the first one was. That's not a v'od zot. That's a v'zot. That's the Mishnah. According to you, Rav Huna, who says that the first statement in the Mishnah was that in Yavne you can blow in the Beit Din means only in the presence of the Beit Din, that's exactly what the rest of the Mishnah is saying. That's not a va'od zot. Ela the Rishalayim tokin yechidin uviyavne ain tokin yechidin. You know what he meant v'im Beit Din? He meant that in Yerushalayim you can. I'm sorry. What's the leg? In Yavne when he made the takana. The im Beit Din means only the leader of the Beit Din can do it, or the shliach of the Beit Din can do it, not individuals. That's what he meant. The im Beit Din doesn't mean the presence of the Beit Din, but it means only the representative of the Beit Din. And the va'od zot is also to only be done in the presence
But in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and they can only blow in the Mikdash in Shabbos, right?
No, you can blow out, remember, the old Zod. You can blow in the outlying suburbs and Yerushalayim itself, anywhere in Yerushalayim. Yeah. But according to that, Rav Huna's difference is when he says Ve'im Beitin, that the Takana of Yochanan Zakkai was to blow in the Beitin, says Ve'im Beitin, we said that may mean only in the presence. Well, if so, that's the entire Mishnah. Now there's not two parts to the Mishnah. And there's clearly two parts because it said Ve'od Zod. Elo, what did Rav Huna mean, Ve'im Beitin? It means only the representative of the Beitin can blow, as opposed to Yerushalayim where individuals can blow. Uv'yavne, ain't tokin yechidin? You're going to tell me that in Yavne, when Rosh Hashanah was on Shabbos, there was only one guy blowing, and that's it? V'aki atov yitzav yosef or, when he came to Basel, he said, kimesayim shlicha tzibur tkia b'yavne, when a shlich tzibur finishes his tkia, lo shama inish kol une mikol tkua di yechidor. You can't hear you couldn't hear your own ears. Udne. Udne is short for udne. You could not hear your own ears. You couldn't hear what because there was so much flying. In other words, he's saying there was so much sounding going on from all the yechidim who were blowing after the shliach tzibur. Everybody came with their own shofar. And when the shliach tzibur finished its key, everybody else blew its key. And you couldn't even hear in your own ears because you were surrounded by this cacophony. So it cannot be the case that in Yavne only the shliach beitin blows. You know what it means? It means that in Yerushalayim, they could blow shofar any time of day. And by the way, they could blow shofar outside of the Mikdash and outside of the presence of the Beit Din. And then the individual can blow. And in Yavne, what? In Yavne, individuals can blow, but they can only blow during the time of Beit Din. And the Va'od Zot, meaning if the Beit Din says we're sitting from 11 to 1 today, you can only blow from 11 to 1. Whatever time is the setting of the Beit Din. As opposed to Yerushalayim, you can blow any time of day. The Va'od Zot is also the Yavne, you can only blow in the Beit Din, Yerushalayim, you can blow in the outskirts. Uv'yavne mizvan Beit Din in, b'shalom mizvan Beit Din lo. Hav mizvan Beit Din mi'atokin. So obviously, during the Zman of the Beit Din, individuals can also blow. V'afilu shalom b'fnei Beit Din. What, even outside of the Beit Din, you can blow in Yavne as long as during the right time? Look, the Eir of Yerushalayim tokin ben mifnei beitin ben shalom b'vei beitin. That's the difference. In Yerushalayim, you can blow in front of the beitin, not in front of the beitin, outside of the streets of Yerushalayim. V'yav mifnei beitin in, shalom b'fnei beitin lo. Right? That in Yerushalayim, in Yavne, it could only be done in the presence of the beitin. And what Rav Huna's statement was, v'im beitin, was meaning during his man beitin. Okay? That's approach one. Now remember, what did Rav Huna say? Rav Huna's only words were Ve'im Beitin, and he was talking about Tkia. So we went through this whole Mahalach, one way of understanding him. Ikud amatni v'had Rav Huna aha. But some people learn Rav Huna's statement as being a commentary on the following. Dichtiv b'yom ha-kibrim tavi v'shofar v'chol artzachem. This is Yovel. Malamed shekol yachid v'yachid chayav litkoa. Because it's ta'aviru in the plural, means every individual is chayav to blow at Yom Kippur of Yovel. Am Rav Huna ve'im Beit Din. And Rav Huna said ve'im Beit Din. Good. My ve'im Beit Din, what did he mean by that? And now we're going to come with the opposite solution. If he said ve'im Beit Din about Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah, so then we say it means Bizman Beit Din. What does it mean here? Bizman Beit Din. Mafukish lo Bizman Beit Din. So the first approach we have is that he meant during the time of Beit Din. Dulo. Meiti v'ravat ki'at Rosh Hashanah v'yovel dochet ha-shabbat bagvulin. Blowing Shabbat, blowing to a shofar on Rosh Hashanah and on Yovel is done on Shabbat. Ish uveito. What does ish uveito mean? Either ish v'ishto, which is what ish uveito normally means, this week's parsha. Ish uveito ba'u means a man and his household, means a man and his wife and his children. Itatami mechayva, a woman's a chayv and shofar. So what does it mean, ish uveito? A mitzvah says shazman gramahi, right? Shofar is a classic time bound mitzvah. What does ish uveito mean? Ish biveito, meaning everybody blows in his house. So you see the blowing shofar on Yovel doesn't have to be done in front of Beit Din. You do it in your house. And that's even not at the time of the Beit Din session. Well, the olam is man Beit Din, right? Really, you can blow in your house, but you can only blow in your house between 11 and 1, or whatever time the Beit Din is sitting. Because you have to coordinate it. If 18 city, between 11 and 1, that's when I can blow. Remember our Mishnah that we just had? It said that Yovel is the same as Rosh Hashanah for Tkiyah and Brachot. Ella, this is an addendum, should be Yovel Tokim ben Veitin Shekichuba Tachodesh, Ven Veitin Shalokichuba Tachodesh. Yovel, they blow in any Beitin, whether it's a Beitin Hagadol that is in charge of the calendar, or any Beitin. V'chol Yachid V'Yachid Chayav Litkon, everybody has Chayav to blow. Roshana lo yitokin al beitin shekichuvu atachodesh. And Roshana, they would only blow, it was a Shabbat, in the beitin responsible for the calendar, beitin hagadol. Ve'en ko yachid ve'yachid chayav litkoa. So how can you tell me ish beveito? So my en ko yachid ve'yachid chayav litkoa. Does that mean ilam b'diyover tokin yachidin Roshana en tokin yachidin? You can tell me the Roshana individuals don't blow? Va'ki atav yitzak v'yazav amarki av mesayim shlicha v'tzibu atki atav yavav v'shama yinish kol unim v'kol tku atchidoi. Remember, we had the report. So when we, in Shabbos and Yavni, you couldn't hear yourself. Everybody was blasting the shofar. Which means on Rosh Hashanah, every individual is chayav to blow, according to this. Alav the evil by Yovel, Tokim ben Mizman Beitin ben Shelo Mizman Beitin. That's the difference. In Yovel, you blast, whether it's during the time of the session of the Beitin. Shana Mizman Beitin in Shelo Mizman Beitin lo. In Rosh Hashanah, it's only during the time of the Beitin. So Ketani Miyah for Yovel, Mizman Beitin ben Shelo Mizman Beitin. So the, according to that, Yovel can be blasted whether during the time and not the time. And so now, what did Rav Huna say when he said the im beitin? It's not going to be in the presence of the beitin necessarily, and it's not the time of the beitin. So what does it mean? Well, the olam is man beitin. Actually, our proof was not good. You really have to blow at this man beitin. Hachiktani, by Yovel, Bizman Beitin, Tokim Ben Fe Beitin, Mitchell Ovis Beitin. You know what the difference in Yovel and Rosh Hashanah is? You always have to blast during the time of the Beitin. Except Rosh Hashanah and Yerushalayim. But after the Churban, of course, there's no Yovel anymore. But on Yovel, you always have to blast during the time of the Beitin. What's the difference? Yovel, you can do it at home. Rosh Hashanah, Tokim, Bizman Beitin, Bubifne Beitin. That's the difference. So now, when Rav Huna said Ve'im Beitin, if he said it about Rosh Hashanah, he meant Bizman Beitin. And if he said it about Yovel, he also meant Bizman Beitin. But in any case, after it would be Bizman Beitin. But the difference is that Yovel could be done Shelo Bifnei Beitin. Itmar Nami, Am Rabbi Chia Bar Gamdam Rabbi Yossi Ben Shaul Am Rabbi. Ein Tokin Ela Kol Zman She Beitin Yoshvin. You see it? You have to blow a shofar during the time Beitin is sitting. We end up with a very small question. What happens if the Beitin said, okay, guys, we're finished, let's go, we'll make kiddush, we'll have lunch, it's Rosh Hashanah, and before they did that, somebody came in and said, I got to blow a shofar. Beitin yoshvin v'ayinan, you need a Beitin sitting, v'ayika, they're there. Odil mizman Beitin v'ayinan. Maybe you need the zman of Beitin, and they've already finished their zman. In other words, they've said, let's get up. V'leika, so teiku, unclear. Okay, the end of the Mishnah said, V'odzot atal Yerushalayim yiterah yavin, etc. They had four stipulations. Any city that's ro'ah, shoma'at, krovah, v'yicholah lavo. What does that mean? Ro'ah, probably yoshevet v'nachal. If you had a city that was sitting at the bottom of a ravine outside of Yerushalayim, which means that city could not see Yerushalayim, then that's not included. Shoma'at, what's that? Probably yoshevet v'rosh ahar. It was on top of a mountain nearby, so it would not be able to hear what was going on in Yerushalayim. Krovah, what's Krovah? Probably Yoshevet Chutz L'Tchum. If it's outside of the Tchum Yerushalayim. And the Yicholah Lavo, what's that? Problem of Sikla Nahara, if a river interrupts. Now, part of the problem is that there are no rivers within the Tchum of Yerushalayim that you would say, this town is within the Tchum, but it's separated by a river. So it's a little difficult to say that Yerushalayim is limited by these four things because some of them are impossible. But that's how we read the Mishnah. Now, the next piece, it gives us the history of that we've already studied in Sukkot, it's the Lavi Chazarat, about Lulav. Ya Lulav Mital Mikdash Shivam Dinah Yom Echad. Remember the halacha? Is that, and I added a pasuk number five on here, that lists, remember the Chiyuv of Lulav, outside of Mikdash is only one day. And in the Mikdash, Usmachtem Lifnei Adonai Melechem Shivat Yamim, it's 7 days. Shchar Beit HaMikdash, Yitkin Melechem Zaka, She'elula V'nitav HaMedina Shiva, Zecha LaMikdash. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made the takana we're all familiar with, that we shake lulav all 7 days as a zecher l'mikdash, v'shiyah yom henef kulo asur, and also that the 16th of Nisan, which is the day of the lifting up of the Omer, is all asur b'chadash. Remember the Iker Din, and I put this on top of the page, is that chadash asur min haTorah on the sixth, until the 16th of Nisan when the Omer is brought. The Omer is brought in the morning. Then everything is mutter. Once there's no Beit HaMikdash, it could be that it's mutter from daybreak. And Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made a takana that you can't eat until the end of the day. Or it could be that midoraita you're not allowed to eat until the end of the day, in which case Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was simply affirming that position. Okay, let's see. First thing is, uminalan davdina zecha l'mikdash. How do you know you're chayiv to make a zecha l'mikdash? When I heal you, you were called cast away, and nobody was seeking you. What does that mean? Obviously, that means you have to seek out Zion. And the way to do it is, when there's no mikdash, you do zechel mikdash. And as we said, back in Sukkah, zechel mikdash plays out two ways. One way is to imitate the mikdash, and another way is to omit certain things from your celebration, like a wedding, etc., building a house, and to remember the mikdash. That's the zechel churban, really. Okay, shiyol enef kulo asur. The first part of the mission is very straightforward. The question about why the 16th of Nisan was all asur. My Tama. Mehera yibaneh beit hamikdash. V'yamru ishtakat milo achalnu behir mizrach. People are going to say, hey, last year we ate at dawn. Last year we ate on the 16th in the morning. And so why can't we eat the 16th in the morning? Achshav naminecho. They won't say it. They won't realize halacha is last year there was no Omer, so we were allowed to eat first thing in the morning on the 16th. And now that there's an Omer, we have to wait till the Korban's brought. Here Mizrach itir. Hashtadika Omer, Omer matir. So wait a second. Dividvani Eimat. When was the Beit HaMikdash built in this play out? Ilay Medivani Vesheitza, you think it was, let's say it was built on the 16th on Chol HaMoed. Here Mizrach itir. That means that before the Mikdash was up, you had daybreak, which allowed it. So when is it that the Beit HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt that's going to create this confusion? Eladi Ivani B'chameisar. The Mikdash was built on the 15th. So V'chatzot Yom Olahalan U'tishteri. Then, in other words, it was built 15th, meaning anytime before the 16th. Okay, it's not going to be built on the 15th. It's the first day Yontif. But if it's built before the 16th, then you should allow them to eat from midday on, because certainly by midday the korban will have been brought. So that means that this year you should be able to eat on from midday on, chadash, because even if the mikdash is built next year, so the korban will be brought by midday, and people are not going to do something wrong and say, well, last year we had it midday. Well, you say you can eat midday also. Why? People are far away from the mikdash can eat chadash from midday on. Why? Beitin of the Kohanim are very careful to bring the Omer right away. By midday, at the very latest, it's been brought. So for sure you could eat, which means whether I argue with Yochanan Zakkai made a takana that the entire day is asur. Talking about that it was built late the day before, and they didn't have time to do the proper Omer. So it took them time, and they didn't bring it until the end of the day. Inami dibani v'leilya. Right now, that approach, as you see, is very difficult, because Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is saying that because of the possibility that Yibaneh Beit HaMikdash on the first day of Yom Tov Pesach, at the end of the day, and they won't have time to put the Omer together in time, and therefore it's going to be end up brought late in the day, therefore every year, the entire day of the 16th is Asur all day. Because the next year, somebody's going to say, hey, last year we ate at midday or whatever it is, why can't we eat now? It's difficult.
Is this a riot to the Beit HaMikdash coming from Shemayim?
No, because he says Yibaneh.
Yeah, but if it's going to be built, it's going to take time to build
it. I know, not only that, but if they know they can build it, they can also prepare the Omer. You don't need a mikdash to cut barley. I know. Which is why Menachem Yitzchak says this. Menachem Yitzchak, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, b'shitat Rabbi Yehuda Amara. He was really appropriating Rabbi Yehuda's shita. What is Rabbi Yehuda's shita? Look at pasuk number pasuk number six, which is the pasuk about Chadash. You're not allowed to eat new grains until when? Ad etzem hayom hazeh, which would theoretically mean until the beginning of this day, and the minute that you had daybreak, you can eat it, until you bring the korban. So chachamim say, you know what the pasuk is doing? It's giving you two heterim. If there is no korban, then the minute the day starts, it's mutter. If there is a korban, then what to bring the korban is mutter. Rav Yehuda says the opposite. Demar ad etzem elazeh ad atzmo shel yom kasavar ad ve'ad bichlal. Rav Yehuda says ad is inclusive, meaning until the end of the day. The Torah prohibits, you know what, and Rav Yehuda's shita in a sense is a lot more appealing. Because he says, the Torah says you're not allowed to eat it until the end of the day. If you bring a korban, then it's matter it early. It's a little strange to say it's mutter at the beginning of the day, but if it's a korban, it's later. Because theoretically, the day already was matter it, then you bring a korban later. So he says, Rav Yochanan Zakkai is appropriating Rav Yehuda's shita, which is, that if there's a Beit HaMikdash, that means there's a Korban, so the Korban is Matirid whenever it's brought. If not, then the end of the day is Matirid. Because you have to be Ad Etzamayel Azen, meaning until the day, and until is inclusive. So until the end of the day. Because Savra Ad Vechlal. Now, Umitzavra La Kavatek, and Mifug Poligale. Wait a second, Rabbi Yehuda disagreed with Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda never met Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Yehuda comes up two generations later and says, what do you mean, Hitkin? It's Asur Da'oraita. So the answer is, how come Yehuda Hu Dekatoi? Yehuda was mistaken. He thought what we originally thought. Yehuda Zakkai would have said to Hitkin meant Midrabana. Velohi, Midoraita Kamar. Yehuda Zakkai was saying exactly what Yehuda was saying. He just didn't understand it. Because when he said Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai Hitkin, what does Hitkin normally mean? Midoraita, it's fine, and we're making a rabbinic ordinance. Rabbi Yehuda didn't understand it. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was really saying exactly what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, which is that now that there's no Beit HaMikdash, the halacha is that you cannot eat until the end of the day. Because without a korban, it goes to the end of the day. Midoraita kamar, v'ha Hitkin k'tani, so what do you do with the word Hitkin? Ma Hitkin, tarash v'Hitkin. It doesn't mean that he ordained. It means that he publicized the halacha. Because after all, here the halacha shifts. Up until now, Rabotai, when there was a korban, we were allowed to eat grain from the middle of the day, or if you were closer, even earlier, when you knew the korban was brought. Now that there's no mikdash, the entire day is asur. Not because of an ordinance, because the mikdash might get rebuilt on the 15th at night next year, but rather because midoraita asur, because of having no korban, it's ad etzamei alazeh, exactly like Rabbi Yehuda Shita. And that, by the way, is a far more appealing read of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, because to say that he made a takana to make the entire day of the 16th asur, because of the possibility that the mikdash will be rebuilt, and like you say, Ethan, rebuilt on the 15th, late in the day, and nobody has any sense that it's coming to prepare for the Omer, it's just too difficult. And therefore, the second approach is far more appealing, to say that he was really taking Rabbi Yehuda's shita, and that it really was publicizing the fact that midoraita, it is now asur all day.